Yeah, welcome to our, I think, last session of this conference, and we have now two people from remote joining this, and the first presentation will be by Tracy Adams. I mean, everybody in the OpenACS community know Tracy. She was one of the, let's say, the forefathers of OpenACS. It was also the reason why calling this OpenACS. She, together with Phil Greenspan, she was founding this, let's say, organization and Ars Digita and making the whole world of ACS a big movement. And in some way, we are half of the audience here are your followers, Tracy. I think it's good if I stop here and you start your presentation.
Great. I'm really excited to be here. I have that contact information if anybody wants to connect. I would love to learn what everybody's up to.
Tracy,
super excited.
Your sound is currently very distorted. I'm not sure whether it's local for
us. My sound is what?
Like a robot.
Yeah, like a robot. I mean, Darth Vader.
Sorry, let me see. Sometimes it goes into a webcam. I did test this, sorry.
This seems to be a problem on our end.
All right, test.
But if you move this one, it's better, maybe?
Can you try again, Tracy?
Testing.
Yeah, it's now much better.
It's not.
Oh, it's
okay.
Better. It is better. It's perfect now. Don't touch anything.
Okay, great. Okay. As I was saying, it's great to be here. I love that this is still going on. Been watching Gustav. I get all the OpenACS forum alerts. And anybody, I would love to connect with people and hear what you're up to. I'm currently the co-founder of Greeter. We build an application that connects recruiters to candidates during the job application process. So, you know, you have a real collaborative app instead of like a black box of spam. I go by Pink Fox Who Codes. This little icon was made by Dolly, by my team at Foxy AI. And it was kind of funny. They put Pink Fox Who Codes into the AI because one of the young punks, when I first started, like complained that he thought I couldn't code. So that became my icon after that. All right, so LAUSD, a little bit of background. It's the Los Angeles School District. It's the second largest school district in the U.S., second behind New York City. It's over 600,000 students. So in the late 1990s, maybe early 2000s, they adopted ACS and then OpenACS for over 30 packages, two of which I built. I built kind of a metadata-based process where contractors could put in their invoice, and then there was a, like, rules engine that decided if they needed overtime or if they were compliant with the base contract. They've had 30 plus modules sitting there kind of with no problem since then. What happened late in 2022, they were hit by a huge, huge cyber attack. Now, that did not impact OpenACS modules. However, the cyber attackers got in and held the whole data center hostage. They almost lost everything. It was huge. Again, OpenACS was not involved, but that caused kind of a question around what code that they had, was all the code secure, et cetera. and the head of that department, the IT department, found me. Actually, somehow called me. I was working at Infor through Teams on Infor, and some random thing came through Teams, and I happened to answer it. And he asked, you know, if I could help, because they were threatening to kind of shut all these modules down, or he needed to do something. Some of these are mission critical. This lists all the modules that they're using. There's a lot for contract management. You see invoice tracker, invoices, managing the contracting process. There was also some marketing modules that they had, just very basic, you know, not even much logic, marketing stuff about their buildings and things like that. They were on two versions of ACS, ACS 4.2 and then OpenACS 5.2. They didn't quite understand that those needed code review as well. So, you know, I'm asking how many code bases they have, and they were quite confused. You know, obviously this was before NPM. You know, in fact, we were one of the first ones to have a concept of package management as well. So it ended up being well over a million lines of TCL code plus the ADP code, et cetera. All right, so actually, LASD, there was another vendor involved that I think does like a lot of their IT. And it was actually their idea to look at the OSWAP top 10. And this is kind of, it gets updated, I believe, every year, but like the top 10 security vulnerabilities that you should look at in web applications. Again, this will be all be distributed, so you could read kind of what assessment we came up with. But obviously, SQL injection, if everybody remembers ACS 3.4 and the big security crisis where we had to go through, add the DB API and update probably a million lines of code. It was not a dissimilar type of situation. Let's see, broken authentication wasn't really a problem. Sensitive data exposure, no. None of those there. Cross-site scripting was another thing. We looked at that in, I believe, OpenACS 4.2. So they did have to look at their OpenACS, I think, 5 something. So they had to go back to their 4.2 and make sure that it was upgraded, that everything was auto no quoted. And I think that's it of note. Other things, you know, exposure of system error messages was another common one. So we looked at this, we divided this up into packages, into groups. There were some high priority packages, things that, you know, were either sensitive or things they wanted to turn back on earlier. During this whole time, they were not allowed to expose any of this outside LAUSD. So there was a lot of pressure to get this code review done. So what we did is we built a program that would take a package and go through and put these labels at top. So this is like, was there input parameters? If so, is there a correct use of AB page contract? Is there DB interaction? If so, is there a correct use of bind variables? In the beginning, we just had this blank. And then as the time pressure, you know, and of course, the original estimates of how much it takes to scan were a little off. We built some automation to say things like, hey, if it's an ADP page and it uses AD page contract, there's no no-quotes. So therefore, we didn't have to look for that. Or we could also tell if you were using the DB API, and if you didn't use any dollar signs, then we knew there was, you know, we could say there's no bind variable problems. Just one second. Alexa, stop. So sorry. Okay. So we had this tracking, and it also tracked kind of what pages needed to be done. Was the package done? And then we ran the script again and put all this in the database. So there's places here, if we said yes, yes, and then we could also say comma, and then there'd be like other notes. So this was all automated. This is a typical report. All these problems have been fixed. I took out the file names as well, but you'll see the package, the different types of files, just some notes on other file types. They did have JavaScript packages, some Ajax calls with other systems. They had their own, they had a document management system they built off of OpenACS. And then you'll just see the notes where, you know, hey, this is a case where suggest using bind variable, exposure of system error messages, things that looked odd. And this is the overall package report. So this was the auto-generated stuff that gave them, you know, step-by-step all the information, which they loved, I think, to convince their management that this was looked at, you know, properly. They loved this, but, you know, especially they loved this being highlighted, like these are the things that you should look at. In the beginning, we were very, very detailed. And then made sure, like, oh, this is something you should look at. So if it looked like it was a problem, we like investigated. But I think as time went on, we were more liberal and just said, these are the things you should look at and make sure, you know, so look at these six files and make sure that there's not cross-site scripting problems or something like that. So just time-wise, because it does get convoluted and tiring and take a lot of time. So highlights, surprisingly, they did not have that many bind variable problems. I would say less than 12. There was some like subtle things, like tickles to SQL lists. Anytime you're like using list of variables. So to find a way to make sure all those bind variables are protected. Lots of cross-site scripting stuff to look at, exposure to system error messages. None that I really saw that was a huge, you know, deal, like database error or something like that, you know, error returned by Oracle. They do use Oracle. Their code used a lot of upvar. So like the list of like problems, like validation errors and stuff would all be upvarred, and then they had an included script that upvarred to get that very hard to like track down to figure out like, oh, is there cross-site scripting or problem there? So that's the overview. I did include, you know, hopefully enough details if you wanted to look at this and see like specifically, you know, how that all worked and the different things to look for. I think it's really interesting that like there's this huge code base there. A legacy code base. There is another company kind of that was founded by the same venture builder, and they're doing security stuff, but they're doing it with Docker containers and things like that. And, you know, I told the CEO there's probably billions of lines of legacy code out there that don't have the benefit of NPM and the current infrastructure today that, you know, probably could benefit for some kind of framework to do these code audits, you know, first the workflow framework, but then also, you know, getting smart about looking for places to find, you know, either these things, problems don't exist here, or these are things that you should look for. So I'll close it here. Any questions? I see clapping. I don't hear it though.
Yeah, everybody applauded. just going here. Thanks a lot for the presentation. Maybe I'm starting with a short question here, and maybe we can afterwards type the questions also into the chat to see it. I mean, it seems somehow we have here a competition who is running the oldest OpenACS legacy application. And I think you won. I just looked up that ACS 5.2 is 20 years old. And ACS 4.2 must be a couple of years older than this, therefore I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's just been sitting there running. The leader, was quite frantic because he's like, I have all this code, it's all working, haven't had any problems, right? And he really wanted to get stuff turned on and that kind of stuff. I don't know what they would have done.
This is a common problem. Often you have an application which runs fine, but many of the security holes were not invented at the time when you were running the code, therefore you have to update sometimes. I mean, I have to say that all of the newer OpenACS releases are regularly tested by Aquanetics, is one of the leading commercial web intrusion tools, and always there are new things popping up which were not there in the last release, because simply the attacks were becoming more tricky. But I didn't get from your presentation, I mean, you had a lot of, let's say, local packages installed. Was it an option also to whatever upgrade ACS Core to a newer version, or were this team more or less just fixing everything locally in this instance?
You know what? They do want recommendations on this. So if they, I don't know the effort, and the benefit, right? The benefit would be it's more secure. What is the benefit to upgrade? How much would it cost to upgrade stuff? I got to tell you that some of those Oracle statements, miles long, 100 plus lines, lots of logic and stuff, lots of grungy stuff. But I think they do want recommendations, right, to kind of evaluate what that would take and what that would give them.
Yeah. I mean, usual recommendation is don't touch the ACS core files and just touch the package files if necessary. Then you can at least upgrade the ACS core with little hassles. I mean, it's just a basic thing.
Oh, wow.
But there's always a question of...
I don't think they touch the core much.
Yeah.
I would guess. I mean, this is just looking at stuff. But you think that if they can upgrade to the current version and not have much problems from all the way back then?
I think it would be certainly a good option, because you get afterwards a lot of infrastructure already for making the other changes easier. Therefore, it's something like a multiplier.
Okay, and then there's a lot of other improvements they would get as well.
Sure.
Don't believe they're actively programming new stuff. I'm not sure, but that's good to know.
Questions from the audience? I think the best thing is if you come up front here in front of this device. Is the microphone sufficient? Stefan thinks it's... Okay, good.
Okay. Hello, this is Georg. Do you have some numbers about the effort of the code review?
I mean, can you estimate the effort of the code review and of the fixes?
I don't know the fixes. I would say the code review is about 1,000 hours or so.
That's some time.
We were looking for very specific things, right? And then the kind of scripts that said, there's no quotes in this page, right? Then that ADP page just needs a quick glance to see if there's anything crazy, right?
So yeah, I mean, it was probably 2 million lines of code. I don't think, I mean, there were not that many fixes, right? Usually I'd pass in the package and then they would just say, okay, we did this. And then I think most of the things highlighted for cross-site scripting, they've you know, concluded it was okay, or just an admin page or something like that. So I don't, yeah, once it got organized right, not as much as you would expect. The 3-4, you know, bind problem, adding the bind variable, that was about 3 years, three FTE of work that we had to do all hands on deck. And we also had a tracker of all that stuff. That was a much bigger project to fix that because it was in the infrastructure.
Hi there. Yeah, this is a question that I have for the report that you created. Was that a package that was created? It was a script, and it can it be shared? Question? Thanks.
Yes, so I have, like during COVID, I created a metadata reflexive Node React kind of thing inspired by ACS, right? So this is written in that. And it was just a quick, like, so the infrastructure, just to get the quick infrastructure, talking to a database and stuff. The script itself, I could share. It's it was just a quick JavaScript, like, you know, total hack script, you know, that looked through the whole folder and ran stuff and put those labels in. Yeah, I'm glad to share that.
Thank you very much for your presentation. I think there were any questions?
Great, thank you. I'm glad to be here, and do reach out and say hi.